Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
A serious and brilliant architect, Amanda Bone, from Home of the Year, is this week's visiting critic. And sorry, I can barely do this in straight face because she is wearing a costume. We asked her to bring the house down instead of putting it up when we sent her to what was her worst nightmare. It looks like it's no longer her worst nightmare. So, you know, the rules of the slot, we get non-practicing, non-professional critics to review something that's way out of their zone of contentment and ease. Amanda Bone.
Do you like my costume?
We sent you to a panto because that was your worst nightmare.
Absolutely. When you asked me to do this, they said, what do you dislike? And I said, pantomimes and musicals, you know.
Okay.
But to be honest, I love having my preconceptions challenged. But okay, I just assumed that I wouldn't like a pantomime because it's kitsch, it's cheesy, it's loud, it's messy.
Busy.
There's kids, there's everything. And actually, I was nervous because I didn't want to come on to radio and criticise an Irish production. I was thinking, what would happen if actually I didn't enjoy it?
This particular one is an institution, the production, because Alan Hughes and Carl Broderick have been doing pantos pretty much all of their lives. So Beauty and the Beast, a Sammy and Buffy adventure at the National Stadium is the one you went to. And like, not just watching it, you took part in it, which is why you are in...
I haven't taken this off all week. I got some funny looks from sight. This is my 10-year-old self's dream.
It really
to dress. I'm kind of a fairy, a princess, a villager. I was actually a groupie of the villain.
So it's one of the French villagers in the Beauty and the Beast story. But you are dressed like an 11-year-old princess.
Yeah.
And it's very red.
And it's kind of Disney-esque as well.
It is. I did not expect this look on you, but you're rocking it very well. And this is what you wear on stage.
This is what I wore on stage. And it was, I had a conversation with Carl and Alan a week or two before I went on. And they sent me a video after the conversation. And to be honest, it blew my mind because of the stage backdrops and the costumes were so impressive. And I realised then and there that my ideas of pantos was not what it actually is.
Right.
And I thought, you know, you never really understand if something works until you experience it. So when they asked me to take part, I thought, listen, why not? And I arrived to the National Stadium early, actually, because there was a matinee that day and I wanted to kind of experience the atmosphere. And then they took me backstage and I met everybody. And I purposely hadn't looked into the panto in any great detail. I didn't know about the actors or the characters because I just wanted to absorb it all. They were so kind. There was no egos. There was such a sense of camaraderie. And they welcomed me on the stage and they showed me around. And I was conscious because there had been a matinee and then there was an evening show. So they had 1 hour of a break and they took their time to really to rehearse with me. And I sat in on the girls' changing room. And, you know, as I said, there was just a strong sense of friendship and everyone was in really good form and it was genuine. It was wonderful. So you felt uplifted and happy before you even got to the stage.
There's a lovely atmosphere backstage.
There was a really lovely atmosphere. Yeah, yeah.
And that genuine. Will come across to the audience, won't it, on stage?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us what's happening in your scene then when you come on stage.
So when I come on stage, I'm a villager and I'm a groupie in love with the villain, Gaston, played by Johnny Ward. So I come on stage and then I'm dancing and chatting and running up and I'm giving him a big hug. I don't want him to leave. He's in love with the beauty. I didn't want him to leave.
So did you love that moment or were you absolutely in bits?
I wasn't nervous at all. I wasn't nervous for myself. I was nervous that I'd messed up for the pantomime.
I see, yes.
For them. But if I'm going to really embarrass myself now, do you remember Love Hate?
I do, of course.
I actually, you know that we're allowed to have kind of TV crushes?
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, Johnny Ward was my TV crush on Love Hate.
Serious?
I didn't tell him. So it was easy giving him a hug.
You give him quite an effusive hug. Now it all means something else entirely. But happily, your partner was there.
Yes,
and
he loved it. Yeah, I went with my husband Niall and our friend John and a 6-year-old Nora. And honestly, I can just wholeheartedly say we had such an amazing time. It was brilliant. And I then went and sat, after my scene, I went and sat down with them. And I brought a black book, I brought my pencil, I brought my camera. I was going to sit there and studiously review it. Didn't open my bag, just sat there and just took it all in. It was, what really struck me was the writing. So I had thought Pantos were for children, but yeah, actually the writing is very clever. The double entendres, the sexual innuendo, it's nonstop for adults. There's so much to take in.
Which goes over the kids' heads.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a little six-year-old boy in front of me laughing and giggling. We were laughing and giggling at the same jokes, but for different reasons.
I see.
And it was, Niall was really taken with Buffy. And in fact, we weren't just laughing during the performance. We went for dinner afterwards and we laughed. I've been laughing on the Dart. I've been laughing on Nassau Street. And last night, Niall was saying to me, well, you know, what are you going to say tomorrow on the radio? And then he's been wandering around the house quoting Buffy. And we've just been
Buffy
laughing.
Buffy is Rob Murphy, yeah, you should say.
Yeah. It was very, very funny. But the writing is clever. It's politically incorrect, but it's interesting because the things that are said on stage in a pantomime, you might necessarily get away with in mainstream media.
Isn't that interesting?
You say it and it's gone. It's over.
Yeah. But it's also, everyone is there for the fun of it. There's no malice intended. So it's kind of like this democratic way of, we're gonna be a bit bold here tonight.
It's the energy. And when we were rehearsing, Carl said to me, you know, things will change, we'll go with the flow, we'll pick up on the energy of the audience. And that's what's interesting about pantomime, because the audience are very much part of it. They're a central ingredient to the pantomime. And even when I was on stage, I could feel that. You could feel the energy of it. And the great thing about the National Stadium is that there's, unlike a lot of venues, there's a very little level change. So that, for example, the stage isn't too high off the floor. So the pantomime came off the stage and in around us. There was different scenes that were taking, you know, part in and around the audience, which was brilliant. And then at the end, part of the audience was actually brought up on the stage.
Really?
So it's an intimate atmosphere, very much a party atmosphere. And the other thing I liked about it is it's very easy to move around. So you can get up, you can get a drink, you can go to the bathroom, you can get a pack of popcorn.
And that's completely fine.
There's no constrictions and you know, there's kids dancing away and it's intimate. It's atmospheric. It's brilliant. I honestly can't. I'm completely gobsmacked by how much we've enjoyed it. But it's given us so much more the entire week, and it's our last week coming to Christmas, which is hectic and work. And we have just turned around, looked at each other, and laughed.
You've had a life change.
I've had a life changing. I have had a complete, because it is for all ages. And, you know, Niall was saying when I was behind stage and getting ready to go on, he was looking at the people coming in and it wasn't just for children. There was adults with adults. There was plenty of people with their parents. It's cross-generational, you know, all ages, families.
Was your husband Niall someone who also wouldn't have considered panto? Or?
Absolutely not. Both of us, panto musicals, absolutely no way. And there we were standing up doing dance and moves to this TikTok viral song called HOTTTGO. We hadn't a clue what it was, but there we were every 5 minutes trying to copy all the kids. And we were just turned and looked at each other and you know, songs like, the music was brilliant. Spice Up Your Life, I'm Too Sexy, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And then the costumes, when you think, you know, there couldn't be more. Just the sequence and the glitter and the enormous skirts. Rob Murphy came out in the last scene. I nearly spat all over myself. There was just skirt, huge frills and fluffs and goals. It was just...
He changes costumes so many times.
The costumes. But, you know, I didn't, as I said, I didn't know anything about the actors involved beforehand purposely, because I didn't want to be swayed one way or the other. But
the
professionalism and their voices and their dancing and their skills, it was... Yeah, mind blowing. I mean, I actually really wanted to go back this week and I couldn't because of work. Yeah, but
because it's a type of thing, it's an experience as opposed to your following a particular
plot. It's an experience, you know, and it's interesting. I read an article that Maya Dunphy wrote in the Saturday Irish Times recently, and she said something that stuck with me. She said, life can sometimes suck the joy out of you. And I've realised as I've got older how important it is to just let yourself go and laugh. And for me, that's as important as healthy eating, as staying fit. But to go in somewhere, we were there for nearly 3 hours and we laughed and laughed. We forgot ourselves. I was looking at other people laughing. I was chatting to the people behind me. I was in convulsions of what was being said on the stage.
You took yourself less seriously for a couple
of hours. Absolutely. And it was, I'm bringing my parents next year. I've told all my girlfriends, we're going to go for a drink. We're going to go there. We're going to go out for dinner. It was brilliant. Absolutely,
it's brilliant. You've made our year on the slot, because visiting critic, we always find people who will do things they never thought they'd do, and they usually love it.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, you've blown the whole previous out of the water.
I mean, I would have stayed on stage all evening. And one of the reasons I did it is, when I was 12 years old, I had one line in one play, and I messed it up, and that was it. And the drama teacher took me aside and said, "You've no rhythm. You're stiff as a board." And she was right. And that was the end of any chance of doing any sort of performance.
But she was sucking the joy out of it.
She was.
So, you got your revenge. She dressed like a princess.
And the thing is, I have to give this back. I don't want to take it off.
Please give it back. You know, they do need those things. It follows the story. It does, the play actually.
Yeah, so it's actually, do you know what? I recorded a documentary on Sky Arts about pantomime, and I researched pantomime, and it starts right back in ancient Roman times.
Yeah.
Actually, it was all about erotic dancing, which is interesting because there's kind of that sexual innuendo in it now.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then it moved into 16th century Italian comedy, and then kind of 17th century in Britain, and then 18th century in English speaking countries, where children start to go to the theatre at kind of Christmas and Easter. Right. And there's you know, when you just suddenly find out about something and then you need to kind of do a deep dive. And then it talks about the main ingredient of pantomime, which is about fables or fairy tales combined with comedic characters and contemporary stories mixed in together in a kind of slapstick. It's all about storytelling, it's about fun, it's about cross-gender dressing, it's about audience participation. And there's always a gorgeous girl and her father, a main man, a villain, a fairy who can transform people, and then a chorus who are dancers and singers who quite often are on stage more than the main character, because they play so many different characters. And after going and seeing the panto, you can pick up. So there are those kind of ingredients that run right through it. But then the writing throws in all sorts of current affairs, you know, about Trump jokes.
Yeah, they're great at that, aren't they?
And what Niall was really taken by, because neither of us knew, was the references to Dublin. So there's a local flavour. So it ties it back to the context of where it's set, which was quite interesting as well.
Oh my God, I'm glad you had such a good time.
Oh, I could sit here and talk for ages.
Is your business closing down meanwhile? Get your work done before Christmas.
If they let me back on stage. Yeah, we're officially closing today for Christmas.
Sounds like it closed
a week ago.
People are sending in messages about pantos. The pantos have become part of the Christmas tradition. They are great fun. It's good to celebrate silliness for change.
Absolutely. The older I get, the more I realise about laughing, about being silly. It's just brilliant. And, you know,
do you find that kind of expectation as we get older that we're supposed to be a bit more serious and more clamped up? Is that?
Well, we are. And then obviously with my own work, which is, very serious, and my professional reputation in terms of my architectural work, but in terms of my personal side, I think when I turned 50, I realised, do you know what? I don't care. If an opportunity comes my way, just say yes and enjoy yourself.
Reaching the beautiful age where you can say whatever you like.
That's it.
You don't care.
You don't care.
And Amanda Bone, it's been an absolute joy. We should mention, by the way, for those who want to go and transform their lives, as Amanda has, Beauty and the Beast, Sammy and Buffy Adventure is on at the National Stadium until the 9th of January. It's nice that it goes beyond Christmas.
Yeah.
The grim early days of January. Panto.ie. And it's in the National Stadium.
And can I just say thank you to everybody who was involved for welcoming me onto their stage and giving me their time to show me around. It was a brilliant experience, and I wish them the absolute best with the rest of the run.
And a Merry Christmas to you.
And you.
And to Niall. Okay.
Email oliver@rte.ie.